to the book of Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4 this evening. I think we're just going to start in the first verse and read on all the way through to the end, and then I'll get to where I want to be tonight. He says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, withal praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your state and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea, and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen." Now, Father, again, we thank you for the word of God that we just read. And Lord, pray you'd use it in our hearts. Challenge us and help us to see and help us to desire to do your will. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a whole lot of wonderful things in this chapter, obviously. I always look at this and, you know, look at Paul in verse 4, warning them to pray that he might make the word of God manifest, as the mystery of Christ manifest, as he ought to speak. And then he tells them to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Those that are without being lost. Walk in wisdom toward them, live a life in wisdom toward them, and the light and the goal, and redeem the time. Because just as the time, you know, everybody's time is short. We always talk about our time being short, but the lost time is short too, isn't it? We're praying for people that are going to die. And if they're not saved, they go out into eternity and they're lost eternally. And somebody's got to tell them the truth. Somebody's got to care enough to tell them the truth. Well, why not us? Why don't we care? Something to think about. And then we talk about, he says, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man." And so we see that, and the question is our speech with grace? Is it seasoned with holiness, that salt of holiness, and then the great that comes by grace, is it there to where we have the right answer to every man, or are we just like everybody else? We just talk about whatever comes to our head, we never try to steer it toward the gospel, and we never try to figure out how to answer people about the things that are most important. And then he talks about all these people here. He talks about Tychicus. He talks about a fellow by the name of Onesimus. And if you read the book of Philemon, this, I believe, is that same Onesimus. And Onesimus is mentioned a few times in the New Testament, in the epistles of Paul. And he mentions Aristarchus, and he mentions, and we find out something about Onesimus and probably Philemon too, that he says he's a faithful beloved brother who is one of you. He came from Colossae. All right, so we find out something about that. So if you read the book of Colossians and you read the book of Philemon, he's to the same group of people there. Philemon being Onesimus's master at that time. And he says Aristarchus, then he says Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, and that's the one we call Mark in the Bible. And he talks about him, and he says Jesus, which is called Justice, and he says, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort of me. And then he mentions Epaphras, who's mentioned a few times in the Bible, who once again comes out of this church. Some good people come out of this church in Colossae, wasn't it? Some really good people came out of this church in Colossae, and he talks about that, and he talks about the zeal that he has. And then he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. You know, it's a good study if you'll go in the Bible and you'll read about these people, where they ended up. You'll find some of them did well and some of them didn't. You'll find that some of them failed, like Mark, when he quit on the first mission trip that Paul and Barnabas went on. But later, Paul says he's profitable unto me for the ministry. And here he is, he's a fellow laborer. He failed, and now he's learned, he's grown, he's changed. And then you see this fellow by the name of Demas in another place, and I believe it might be 2 Timothy, I believe. He says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And he finally says, he says, Crescens is gone and Titus is gone. And he said, only Luke is with me. We find out that Luke was there. And Luke is the one who wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. And so we look at that. We see how God used these people. And he says, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis and the church which is in his house. And he says, when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. In other words, the folks at Laodicea, of course we know the Laodicean church from the book of Revelation, right? But that church at Laodicea, they had written a letter to Paul. And Paul included that letter with his letter to Colossae, evidently, or at least they had a copy of it. He said, you need to read what their questions were and what they said, and you need to let them read this letter that I'm sending to you. So he really wasn't just writing to one church, was he? He was writing in his time to at least two churches. And he may or may not have known that God was using this for all of us. I don't know how much he understood what was Scripture, what wasn't in that regard. I'm sure he did know, because they had to know, and he had to say that I'm writing this because this is the word of the Lord. But he had to understand all that, so I'm assuming he did know. But it's always an amazing thing when we look at that and we just pay attention to what the Scripture says. And then finally in verse 17, and this is where I want to stay tonight, he says, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Salutation of me, Paul, by me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. All right. But he's not really said. He said, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Now I have in all the Bibles that I have had, especially since I surrendered to preach, I have written in that and say to John Sanders, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. And when we talk ministry, we are almost always talking about people who are given gifts by God and called to a specific ministry in the Word. We look at pastors, we look at evangelists, we look at teachers, and often look at deacons and people like that. We look at those type of people when we think of this. We think of this in that way, but I don't think that's all God meant. Now, granted, God calls people to preach. God calls people to preach the gospel. You know, a lot of times we have people that we call evangelists. But in reality, every missionary is an evangelist. They're preachers of the gospel. They go. And we call them, we've got all kind of names for them. But the word missionary doesn't appear in the Bible, does it? At least not to my reckoning. But the word evangelist does. And the word pastor does. And we call them church planters and evangelists and all different types of things like that. And God calls them, and they may stand in the place of a pastor depending on the gifts that God has given them. And no doubt, let's just be honest about it, there are some times when men decide they only want to go part of the way with God, not all the way with God. There are many times pastors leave the pastorate and go become evangelists. And they say, God called me. And I can't say that He didn't. I don't know. It's between them and God. I'm confused by it sometimes. I don't understand. And that's okay for me not to understand. You know, if I didn't have a pulpit to preach in and a church to pastor, I'd be on the street. I'd be pastor. I'd be preaching somewhere. Because that's, number one, what I'm supposed to do. I was preaching on the streets and in the jails and everywhere else I could preach, in nursing homes, before I ever was ordained as a pastor. So that reality, that's just a reality that it is. But when he says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it, it tells me that he's trying to exhort and possibly even rebuke this young preacher by the name of this young person, by the name of Archippus, that he's surrendered to a ministry. He's got a ministry from God. Maybe he was called to preach. Maybe whatever he was called to do. But maybe he was slacking off. Maybe he was discouraged. We don't really know. We're not told much about Archippus in the Bible. But we have this thing where he says, he addresses it, you know, he's addressing the entire church and he's going to this, and he stops and God uses him and stops him to say to this one person, Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And I am very happy to report what little else we know about Archippus. If you turn over to the book of Philemon, in verse 1, he says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Colossians, he's telling Archippus, you need to take heed to this ministry. And when he gets to the book of Philemon, he calls Archippus, our fellow servant, soldier. He said, hey, and the church in his house, he says, hey, this young man enlisted. He's now a fellow server, a soldier. I'm not talking about him in terms of, hey, you need to take heed to that ministry. You are now, I'll call you now, a fellow soldier. And that's heartening to me. I don't know about you, but I like that. Amen. I don't like to read things like, even though it's necessary, I don't like to read things like Paul said, and I'll see if I can find the passage. I alluded to it and mentioned it earlier. I think it's in 2 Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says in verse 9, he says, do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. There's Tychicus, right? We just read about him too. And he's on a mission to Ephesus. And he talks about that. But he says that Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas said, all right, I'm out of here. And Paul said, no, this your ministry's here. And Demas said, no, I'm going where I want to go. And he forsook him. And he left him. And so whatever the case may be, we don't know the particulars of all that. I don't like to read about that. I don't like that. I don't like to hear. I much rather hear of somebody being spoken of in the Bible and then maybe having trouble. I like the stories of like John Mark who may have failed, who may have had a difficult time learning and growing, but they learned and they grew, and you go back to them and you find them. Now he's not being rebuked to take heed to the ministry. He's a fellow soldier. That to me is exciting. I like that. I like to read that. But you know, there is a reality here that every one of us needs to put our name right there. Because whether or not you have been called to pastor a church, or you've been called to missions, whatever you want to call that, as an evangelist, you've been called to go into the jails, you've been called to go to the military, you've been called to go to Indonesia or Zambia or Nigeria or wherever, Spain, and we look at that, we can go down the list, Austria and Germany and New York and whatever it may be, whether you've been called to do that, you have been called to a ministry. And I think I can prove that to you because, you see, I'm not just a pastor. I'm a father. I'm a husband. I'm a servant. I have all of these things that I am and that I have to be. I'm a neighbor. And you know, the Bible tells me how to be a good pastor, doesn't it, Brother Larry? It tells me how to be a good Christian. I'm a family member. I'm a brother. I'm a lot of different things with that I am. And so are you. And every one of those things, I'm a church member. Every one of those things, God tells me how to do it, doesn't He? He tells me what I'm supposed to be, what my attitude toward it is supposed to be, what my behavior is supposed to be. In other words, everything that I do is a ministry. There are some things that God calls us out specifically. He put a burden on my heart to preach and teach the Word of God. He put a burden on Brother Larry's heart to try to be a minister to those that are in the military, a field, if you will. Sometimes God puts a particular calling, and sometimes He puts a different place in mind with that calling. I'm here because this is where I believe and I'm persuaded that God wanted me to preach. And those missionaries that we have on the wall there, they are where they are because they are persuaded that that is where God wants them to be. And could they be wrong? Yes, they could. But that's, once again, it's between them and God. If they believe that ministry is given them of God and that they've received that of the Lord, then they need to take heed that they fulfill it. And then there are some ministries that we have that come by virtue of simply being a Christian. There's good Christian behavior in it. And there's some things that apply to us that apply to us based upon decisions we make and circumstances that we're in. You know, the Bible tells me, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for. But Larry doesn't have that. So that's not for him. That's not a ministry for you. But as a husband, I have a ministry to my wife. There's a way that God says I am to behave. There's an attitude. There's an idea. There's a purpose. There's a plan. There's a will of God. And so many times, we look at all these things that God tells us to do, and we go, man, I just don't know if I can ever do that. And we look at it as something that is a restriction that is placed upon us. And it's not that at all. It's a ministry. It's an opportunity to serve God. We look at what we have out there. We have a world that absolutely hates us. They hate our Savior. I don't care about all the lip service they want to give. There are people out there, and there are a lot of them are religious folks, and they absolutely, positively hate what we stand for. If you, they're all good to say we're all brothers and we're all Christians, but when you start taking the Bible and reading it, oh, they don't like that. They want to pick and choose what they want to pay attention to. And we get in a lot of trouble. I get in a lot of trouble preaching things from the pulpit because people get mad and they leave. And it's like, if I'm not telling you the truth, I understand why you're getting mad at me. But if I'm preaching the Bible to you, why are you upset? If I'm taking the Bible literally, why should you get upset? If that portion of Scripture is not meant to be taken literally, and I'm not rightly dividing the word of truth, you getting mad and walking away from me isn't doing me or you any good, is it? I mean, if you really cared about my soul, why wouldn't you say, hey, preacher, I don't think you're doing that right. And preacher, here's what I think is wrong here with what you're saying. But most people don't have enough of Bible in them. It's not a matter of them understanding and saying, hey, that preacher's not preaching right. He don't understand this right. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of, I don't like what he's saying, so I'm leaving. I'm going my own way. That's mostly what it is, isn't it? Otherwise, we'd have people sitting down around a Bible and saying, hey, why don't we figure this out? Now, I've had people tell me, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. You believe once you get saved, you just go do anything you want to do. No, I don't. I don't believe that any more than I believed that I could do anything I wanted to do just because I was my father's son. Because I guarantee you, he made sure I couldn't do everything I wanted to do. But he didn't throw me out. And he was lost as could be. And as far as I know, I don't know that he ever trusted Christ as Savior. I know he got the gospel. I know he had a chance. I know it's possible that he did trust Christ as his Savior. But, I won't know that for certain until I get to heaven. But I don't have any evidence or anything that would say there's great hope. Other than the fact there was a time when he did start listening to some preaching on the radio, but I don't know what he was listening to. I don't know if he was getting sound doctrine or what. But I don't know that. And we sit here and we look at all these things and we can't see anybody's heart, but just think about it. Do we? Look at how people are. They don't want to get around God's Word and find out why and how. Isn't that a shame? Do you believe you can do anything you want? No, I don't. Because I have a Heavenly Father who loves me. And He chastens and disciplines me. And He's more faithful at that than my earthly father ever was. But I don't see anywhere in the Bible when I fail as a child of God that He just throws me out in the street and says, I don't want anything more to do with you. I don't find that in the Bible anywhere. Oh, you can take a verse, two or three here or there, and you can use it. But if you read those verses in context, I believe you'll come to a right conclusion that God, when Jesus says, all that the Father giveth unto me shall come unto me, and him that giveth to me cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I believe he meant that. I believe he meant that with all his heart when he said it, because it's in the Bible. I believe he said. I believe him when he said, "My sheep follow me, and I know them, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish; neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." I believe that. I believe when what the Scripture says. Oh, so no, I don't believe just because I believe I'm eternally saved that I can do anything I want because I'm a child of God and I have a Heavenly Father. And he won't let me do anything I want. Matter of fact, he's working actively to change all my want to's. And he's working to change my desires to his desires. Isn't that what God does? And he said, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I could go on, I could talk about all manner of different doctrines and things that people teach and everything like that. And I'll just be honest with you, most people, they don't want to sit down and talk about it. They don't want to do that. And we have a responsibility to those people. I even have a responsibility to the heretic, somebody who's preaching something that's totally wrong, clearly wrong from the Bible. Bible says a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition reject. In other words, if a man's coming teaching heresy, you're supposed to at least try to straighten him out twice. Admonish him twice. You can't do that if you kick him out the door in the first place. I have a responsibility to the lost out there. We looked at this at verse 5. He says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. That sounds like a ministry to a lost and dying world. That sounds like a ministry to my neighbors, to my lost family members, to all the earth. I have a ministry to my family. And I'm supposed to fulfill it just as surely as I'm supposed to fulfill my ministry that God has given me as a pastor. I'm supposed to fulfill those other ministries. As a matter of fact, if I don't fulfill those other ministries, I can't fulfill my ministry as a pastor, can I? What does the Bible say if we go over to 1 Timothy? What is it? What does the Scripture say about being a pastor or a bishop or whatever you want to call him, whatever term you want to use? This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. All right, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. And then he goes on, likewise must the deacons be. He talks about the deacons and their ministry. Those two offices in the church, right? So we look at that and we look at what it says, and my responsibility as a neighbor, my responsibility toward the lost world without, my responsibility and my ministry, if you will, to them, to my family, to my wife, to my children. I can't complete this ministry without completing those ministries. I must fulfill, in order to fulfill this ministry, I must fulfill those ministries. And the Bible makes it clear that everybody who is saved has received some type or purpose, some spiritual gift that they are to use in God's service. And you say, boy, what is my spiritual gift, preacher? Can't tell you. All I know this, if you'll learn to yield yourself to the Spirit, it will come and be made manifest. Because the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. But you can't manifest the Spirit if you're walking in the flesh, can you? And if you look at the things that God wants you to do, and you look at those and turn your nose up at them, or you say that they're beyond your purview to do, or whatever, I don't agree with what God says about this, or your job as a wife. See, she has a ministry as a wife, just as surely as I have a ministry as a husband. She has a ministry as a mother, just as surely as I have a ministry as a father. And as a pastor's wife, she can't fulfill that ministry without fulfilling her ministry to her home, to her neighbors, to her family, whatever the case may be. We have a ministry, don't we? Do you see how all this works in? Everything we do as a Christian is part of our ministry. It's not just a bunch of rules and regulations. God's given us a manual on how to do the ministry that we are called to, either by special calling or by the decisions. You know, it's not a bad thing to want a wife. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but adulterers and whoremongers God will judge. God's all for marriage. And it doesn't matter if the world wants to call other things marriage, we can't call other things marriage. God's definition of marriage is clear in the Bible. One man, one woman for life. That's the definition of marriage. So all of these things that men do, and that have been allowed throughout history and things like that, multiple wives and divorce and remarriage and all these things, that's not God's will, never was. Now God is gracious to people who have done those things. David had multiple wives, just like Solomon, his son, and his Solomon had multiple wives in excess, didn't he? And it turned his heart away from the Lord, didn't it? And what David did in what we would say somewhat to moderation, Solomon did in extreme excess, and it cost Solomon, the wisest man in the world, his wives turned his heart away from the Lord, even though he was the wisest man that ever lived, and God gave him wisdom that nobody had before, nobody after, is what he said, I believe, if I remember my scriptures correctly. Yet he still was turned away, wasn't he? And God told them, if you ever set up a king, he shall not multiply wives unto himself, lest his heart be turned away. And David violated that. And Solomon violated it, and it cost him, didn't it? But there's a right way to do the ministry that God gives us. If you choose to get married, you have a responsibility. And you have that responsibility regardless of what my wife does, my responsibility is the same. I'm to love her the way as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Just that simple. In our relationship with Christ, that is the sum of our ministry. And everything you do is a ministry. When you walk out the door, it's a ministry. When you meet somebody on the street, a neighbor. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the Good Samaritan, that story Jesus told? And he talked about the man who went out and fell among thieves, and there come a priest, and he went by them on the other side of the road, and a Levite who was the servants of the priesthood and a member of that group, he came by, he passed on the other side, and then there came a Samaritan, and he came and he took him and he bound up his wounds and he took him and put him in a hotel, if you will, an inn, and he paid for his stay there, and he said, look, he said you take care of him, he said, and if you spend over what I've given you, then I'll come back and I'll pay you for that. And then, because this man asked the question, who, when he was confronted with thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, he said, who, he willing to justify himself, said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus at the end of that came out and said, which man was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, I suppose he that showed compassion on him. And what did Jesus say? Go thou and do likewise. The issue isn't who is your neighbor. The issue is, are you a neighbor? That's a ministry. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time. Make the most of the time. Because their time is short. Just like ours is. Make the most of it. Make it a ministry. Now, going back, he says, and say to Archippus, get back to the right one. He said, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. You need to put your name there. If that wasn't put there, so we can say, man, there's that fellow Archippus. He ain't doing right. God had to rebuke him through Paul. And that's ought to make us take note, right? That there was somebody that God spoke to. But then we look over in Philemon and we say, oh, there's Archippus again, and he's a fellow soldier. He's doing well. Well, that's just a wonderful, nice story, and it is. I like reading those kind of stories. It's a nice story. It's got a happy ending. Don't you like happy endings? What about your ending, though? Well, you need to take Archippus' name out and put yours there. Because you do have a ministry from God. You may not be called to preach, and you may not be called to go to be a pastor. You may not be called to go to a mission field. It may not be your calling, but you do have a calling. And some of it is based upon what you have decided to be. You've decided you're going to be a father. That's perfectly fine. But that's a ministry when you become a Christian. You've decided you want to be a husband. That's a ministry when you become a Christian. You have a family. That's a ministry when you become a Christian. You have a job. That's a ministry when you become a Christian. You have neighbors. That's a ministry when you become a Christian. There are strangers in the world. You have enemies. All a ministry. If thine enemy hunger, feed him. Right? Ministry. And say to, can you see your name there? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out tonight. Father, thank you for this day. And Lord, so often we miss the opportunity to minister. We don't pray for people we should be praying for. We don't pray for the lost. We don't pray for our families. We don't pray for people. We're not there for them. We don't step out to give them the gospel. We don't try to be a blessing. So many ways that we should do. We see what you say we should do, and we do how we feel instead of making it a ministry. And Lord, we get a chance to be ministers just as you came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give your life a ransom for many. We get to take part in that ministry. Help us, we pray. Wherever it is, whether you call us to a particular field or purpose, whatever it may be, or whether we just go through life and we have the ministries that have become ours by default, but by being saved and being a child of God, and now we're supposed to walk in newness of life. We have a ministry to do the will and the work of God on this earth. Help us to accomplish it, we pray. Help us to take heed to the ministry which we've received in the Lord, that we fulfill it. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.